Sorry, Doctor. I had to unmute. Party?
Here.
Goodman?
Here.
Hero?
Here.
And Mara?
Here.
Thank you. We're going to go to agenda item number 2, current statutes, and, or actually, excuse me, before we do that, Ryan, would you mind reviewing again, since we are on a virtual meeting, how that is going to work, please?
Oh, yeah. So, again, for everybody, thank you for participating. I know this is not the most conducive way to meet, but I appreciate everybody's flexibility in meeting in this format. I'm actually appreciative that we have this format available to meet in as well. So, but that being said, if you're not speaking, including the members of the committee, everybody should mute their device, whether it's through your own phone if you did the dial-in instructions or through the virtual format. If you just take your mouse to the bottom and hit the little microphone, you'll mute your microphone, and then don't forget to unmute it if you're going to speak. The other thing is, after speaking with President Hardy, she was talking before the last meeting that if anybody starts becoming a distraction with their phone or their device, we as staff we have a monitor that will monitor those distractions. So this is the only warning, because it's very unlike a physical presence meeting where the president would say, hey, that's a distraction, we'll have to ask you to stop, but we'll remove you from the meeting. This is the only warning coming from the president and the committee. So if it's a distraction, we'll try to mute a couple times, and if it continues, the monitor will just end up booting the person from the phone. I don't think we're going to have that problem, but I just wanted to make that as a heads up, because it's a public meeting, it's open to everybody, so we don't know who actually is calling in, because the public receives all the information. So thank you for indulging my instructions, and I'll pass it back to you.
Thank you. So agenda item number 2, current statutes and or rules regarding licensure examination components, statute and rules. So the committee is to review and discuss current statutes and rules regarding licensure examination components and may make recommendations to the board regarding whether statutory or rule changes should be pursued. So to go right down, before we go into other things that have been referred to the committee. And when I say these, I'm going to start with these different statutes and rules that have been highlighted yellow. And we can have discussion if anybody disagrees with me on different things, but in essence of time, I thought this would be the most time-effective way. So as I say page numbers, I'm looking at the page numbers of our new packet that was sent out yesterday. I am not referring to page numbers down at the actual bottom of the pages. So starting again right through our packet, the Arizona Revised Statutes, page 4, that's highlighted, Dentistry, Chapter 11, Article 1, Dental Board, and where it says dental hygienist, dental therapist, I'm actually fine with those. I don't see that there needs to be any changes. Anybody disagree? Okay, we're going to move to page 5. Dentistry, dentist, and dental, and also denturist. I am also okay with those. Anybody disagree? And again, as I'm not hearing anybody say anything, I'm just continuing to move on. Page number 19, number 20, number 21, number 22, all that are highlighted. Anybody disagree? I am okay with all of those. Anybody disagree? Page 7, Article 2, licensure. I'm okay with that. Anybody disagree?
Heather, this is Ryan.
Yes.
I'm sharing my screen, but I'm
sharing pages that you're giving. You said not the page number at the bottom of the screen, so I'm using the page for the PDF document. If you can see my screen, is that the page you're seeing? You said page 7, but it's not coming to the same conclusion. So what page are you sharing?
All right. I am looking. It looks like you're looking on the Arizona Revised Statutes. I'm looking in the board packet.
Excuse me.
Yes.
Okay, there we go.
There we go. Do you want me to start over again?
No.
Okay. Okay, so we just finished with page 7. Okay, so now going to page 8. This is the one to start with things that we had really wanted to change. So if we look at 32.1233, applicants for licensure examination requirements, I'm okay with that verbiage. I think what we and what started this committee is we were looking at number 2, where it said the Western Regional Examining Board examination or a clinical examination administered by another state or regional testing agency in the United States within 5 years preceding filing the application. We wanted, since this is no longer really examinations by regions, which it used to be, we wanted to change the verbiage by having this in our verbiage as well, Western Regional Examining Board. That gives the agency, however they test, we have to accept it without choice. So I'm just going to read something to you guys just to throw it out there. It's something that we've already talked about, and tell me what you think. It doesn't have to be set in stone. But to change that number 2, I kind of changed things around. For instance, so a hands-on clinical examination including the following portions: prostodontic, endodontic, class 2 and class 3 restorative and periodontal, administered by a state or testing agency in the United States within 5 years preceding filing the application. Non-patient-based hands-on clinical examinations are accepted with board approval. What do you all think of something like that?
This is Dr. Hero. Heather, would you just repeat that last line about non-hands-on?
Non-patient-based, so...
Right, yeah, non-patient-based.
Last line, non-patient-based hands-on clinical examinations are accepted with board approval. So let me tell you my thought process behind that, and we're going to get more into this as we talk about, for instance, the Compudent tooth that was referred from our meeting last week to today's committee meeting. So whether we as board members want it or not, non-patient-based exams are coming in the future. I feel that it is prudent for us to be ahead of the curve instead of having legislation dictated to us without our say. So if we put something into this, and then depending upon where we go with talking about, for instance, the Compudent tooth or other things that are in our board packet as well, that we will be able to stay ahead of things instead of, again, having it dictated to us. We already have seen how that happened with the universal license. We had no say in that. We have to do what it says because that is now law. So that was my thought process of adding that line in because I think it's coming. We already accept the endo, the cross portion on mannequin. So I think the other things are coming in the future.
This is Hero again. I like the verbiage, and I like that it's a little non-definitive with the last portion of it, that we can or we may or may not accept it.
Right. It doesn't mean we have to take every single one. Oh, and I apologize. One other thing that we had talked about last meeting, because this is a virtual meeting, is let's each identify ourselves with our last name before we begin speaking. So, Hardy, again, this doesn't mean that we're going to accept every non-patient based, but we as a board can choose to. Dr. Amaro, Mr. Goodman, what do you all think?
I like the flexibility you're talking about. Of course, on the clinical side, I have to defer to y'all on whether or not it's clinically right. Goodman.
Amaro, I'm kind of feel the same way, that we keep it open, but at the same time, I think that we have to have more evaluation into the non-patient base before we accept it. When it comes to class one, or class three, class four, or class two, class three. I was on a call at 6 a.m. too. I agree. That would be, I think it's fine to put it that way. Now, the only concern I have is that staff is going to get overwhelmed by, hey, will this be accepted? Will this be accepted? Will this be accepted? That would be my only caveat on it.
This is Hero. Would we be able to have a list of board-approved agencies that are offering that, and still the final decision would go towards the board, but at least that might provide some direction to prospective licensors that may alleviate a little bit of the call volume to staff?
This is Morrow. Dr. Hero, last meeting, we had some CDCA came in. Reb has a tooth that they've been working on, but not quite ready yet. So there are a bunch of different testing components out there, companies out there that are playing around with this. Whether or not they're ready yet and whether or not we can evaluate that yet, I still have questions in my mind. So, and there was a lot of talk about when you're dealing with a non-patient, there's a lot of factors that go along with that. No saliva, tongue getting in the way, patient management, those kind of things, which I'm a little concerned about relieving yet, because I think that's part of being a dentist, is that dealing with the patient and that patient component. And I don't know if it makes the test harder or easier, but I still think it just makes the test different when you have a patient there versus if you don't. That was the conversation we had at the last meeting.
This is here. I appreciate the update because unfortunately I did miss the last one. And I do agree. I mean, I have a reservation moving away from a live patient component because it's just integral to what we do. And again, I like the flexibility that President Hardy came up with her verbiage.
And this is Hardy. So I agree. Based on the last meeting, I think can talk more into those specifics here coming up soon because I think that they are relevant. But for this portion of it, with the rules and statutes, to go back to that, one other thing that it was something that I added on was the hands-on portion. So a hands-on clinical examination, which is in that two times. So I wanted to make sure that you all as a committee saw that that was something I had added on and to get your opinion on it. Again, my thought process of adding that on, and we're also going to talk more about this, is some of even with the ADA's OSCE that they have presented the, I don't know exactly how to pronounce it other than if it's the DL OSCE, but theirs, for instance, would be that the hand skill assessment is not included in theirs. So that would be precluding that out, which I actually am in favor of, because I think to do things in theory and to know how it's done is different than actually performing it. For instance, one reason why we wanted to add the periodontal even as a skill component for a dentist, even though it may not be something that's done every day in each one of your offices or the future prospective candidate's office, is we've seen cases in exams where a dentist had failed that periodontal portion due to removal of calculus. And then when they retook the exam, again, they had left too much calculus behind, so it would have been a failure. But they also broke an instrument tip off, which happens, and that in itself is not anything that would be a critical error except for they didn't tell anybody, so it was found upon examination by the examiners, and they lacerated the tissue to the bone. That stuff can't be caught if there is no hands-on component. So
President Hardy, this is Goodman. I fully agree with what you are saying. You know, I've been managing an OBGYN practice for 20 years. I know all the words and know how to do none of it. And so we can't have dentistry have clinicians that know the words but don't know how to perform the task. So I fully agree.
Thank you. And Mr. Goodman, this is Hardy, to your point, and also on that same tone or reasoning for myself, is I know that a lot of the OSCEs that are being looked at and in process of and are looking at the medical community for that as well. And dentistry is so different in medical, where we don't have the mandatory residencies. We are trained, and when I say we, of course, I'm talking about myself as a dental hygienist and a dentist, of course. We are trained in a school setting, whereas medical, they are in a hospital-based setting in teaching hospitals, and then they go on to a residency as well. So it's two completely separate things, which is why I still feel that dentistry needs that hands-on component.
Goodman, I agree with you.
This is Hero. I agree as well. I think a consideration would be those that are going to postgraduate residencies and maybe providing a little flexibility with that component. Because if it's a student coming out wanting to get licensed and practice, absolutely, you know, the clinical portion of it is invaluable. But if they are going on to a postgraduate residency, I mean, that we may want flexibility in the future to be able to maybe not force them to do the clinical component if they're getting advanced training. And that's just a question I'm posing. I don't know how I feel about it yet.
You know, and this is Mauro. New York did the same thing. New York made it so that you can take a residency and actually don't need a board exam at all. They just give them a license after that PG, their PG residency, and they move on. I think that the benefit of having, once you go to dental school, the inevitability is that they're probably going to pass it. Most people do, 98% of the people do. But what it does is it just solidifies in what they're being taught. And it gives them kind of an end goal. And really, the 2% that don't pass shouldn't be dentists at that point. But once you get to a PG residency, you know, if you've done an extra year or two or sometimes three in your residency, I think that we may look into that in the future. I you know, but I think that would require a major rule change, possibly legislation. I have no idea what the legal aspects would be on it, but I'd agree with you, Dr. Hero.
Okay, so this is Hardy again. So again, to review, let me go back to my page. For the 32-1233, number 2, I'm not going to change anything regarding the residency that we just talked about, but keeping it as a hands-on clinical examination, including the following portions, prosthodontic, endodontic, class 2, and restorative, and periodontal, administered by a state or testing agency in the United States within 5 years preceding filing the application. Non-patient-based hands-on clinical examinations are accepted with board approval. So everybody is okay with that, it sounds like, based on what we said? So before we continue to go on, Ryan, do we need to vote on this stuff since we are going to be taking it in front of the board? Are we okay with doing something as a whole? Or how would you like us to continue since we actually wanted to make a change on this?
So I'll defer to Seth, but I think that you can do, as you go through, the ones you haven't amended, you don't need to make any decision to vote. And the ones that you do, you can either do one of two things. Do a recommendation to the board each for each one, or after you get through the whole thing, do like a collective recommendation for all of the amendments. It may make it easier in minutes to do them separate, but I'll leave those decisions to you guys. But I'll just double check with Seth. Seth, it's okay to do them all collective or as separate, correct?
Yeah, this is Seth. I would recommend doing them as you go. That way there'll be more clarity instead of at the end going, okay, which ones are we going back to now? If you just do it as you go along, it may be easier for tracking. But I would recommend you take some type of action to recommend the board consider making those changes.
Okay. This is Hardy. So I agree. So we're going to do them separately. So this is Hardy. I would make a motion that we give the board the following recommendation to change 32-1233 number 2 to state a hands-on clinical examination including the following portions: prosthodontic, endodontic, class 2 and class 3 restorative and periodontal administered by a state or testing agency in the United States within 5 years preceding filing the application. Non-patient-based hands-on clinical examinations are accepted with board approval. That is
Goodman second.
Thank you. We have a motion and a second on the table. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye for the yes.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
Heather, this is Ryan. Sometime after the meeting on all these motions, if we're going to use your wording, it might be easier for us to capture it better if you just shoot me an email with those in there.
Thanks. Thank you. I thought the same thing. I already have most of them written up, so I'll do that.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, so we are moving on. Again, this is Hardy for Ryan for yours. I am going now to page 9 of our board packet, 32-1240. Anybody disagree? On to page 10, Article 3.1, licensing and regulation of dental therapists, and then also the 32-1276-01. I'm okay with that. Anybody disagree? Moving to page.
President, real quick, this is Sean Murphy. Just so I'm clear, the dental therapist, all we're talking about adding is the highlighted and underlined version for that, right?
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, page, I have page 11. Hold on, let me look at my notes here. Okay, on page 11, I don't have something highlighted, but so number 3AI, it says Western Regional Examining Board. So if we are looking to change that, I think that that's also something that we need to take out of this as well. So here's the prospective changes that I'd like to consider making. So on 3A, to take out the last word, either. So it would read, within 5 years before filing the application, a clinical exam that is, and then we would strike out I. And then for the number 2, I guess that would be, change it to say an examination in dental therapy administered by a state instead of another, or testing agency, strike out that is substantially equivalent to the Western Regional Examining Board examination. And instead we would say, so to read it in entirety, I'm going to start over. An examination in dental therapy administered by a state or testing agency that is substantially equivalent to the requirements of this state as determined by the board.
Or the other way to put it would be to reference the rule before, you know, 4A, whatever it may be, whatever that number was that we highlighted. So they can go back and read that again at that other rule.
Yes, I agree with that.
As previously stated in rule, whatever it may be.
What do the, Mr. Goodman, Dr. Hero, what do you all think?
I agree. I like the point back to the previous verbiage as well.
You just get rid of the ambiguity.
Okay, so that would be... Okay, to read in its entirety again, an examination in dental therapy administered by a state or testing agency that is substantially equivalent to the requirements of this state as determined by 32-1233-1 and 2.
Perfect. This is Mara. Yeah.
Thank you. This is Hardy, so I make a motion that we change... that verbiage to say exactly what I just said. I'll read it again. An examination in dental therapy administered by a state or testing agency that is substantially equivalent to the requirement of this state as determined by 32-1233-1 and 2. And this is for 32-1276-01. Number 3, for changing 3A, 1, and 2.
And 1 being that we cross out A1.
Correct.
Morrow seconds.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion?
Heather, real quick. And also, didn't you want to include striking the word either?
In A. Yes. Okay. Thank you for that clarification. Dr. Morrow, are you okay with that clarification as well?
Yeah.
Okay. Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Okay. We are going to page 12. I am okay with that. Anybody disagree? Page 13. I am okay with that. Anybody disagree? Page 14. This is another one for some prospective changes. So changing number 2 to take out either of the following at the end. Striking.
Can we just do the motion with the exact same verbiage as the other, and then just, it looks the same, right?
Yes.
So can I just make a motion that we use the same verbiage? This is Morrow. I'd like to make a motion that we use the same verbiage as we did on, what's the number? 3-1, I don't have the number in front of me.
12, so the same one you just did was to 32-1276.01, and you referenced 1233.
Yep, and we use the same verbiage as that other rule in place of, you stop sharing your screen.
Sorry. I'm doing it right now.
Sorry about that. Where are we? In place of 32-12852A and B, shall have the same verbiage as the previous wording that was voted upon for the other. What's the number on it?
1276.01.
2076.01. 0 seconds. This is Hardy. Thank you for the motion. A second for discussion. One difference in your two emotions and second, would you want to change where it says an examination in dental therapy to be an examination in dental hygiene?
Yes.
Dr. Hero, do you agree with that with your second?
Yes.
Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Moving on to page 15, I'm okay with both of those. Any disagreeing? Page 16, I'm okay with that. And 17, anybody disagree for 16 and 17? Okay, the only other thing in that packet that I wanted to ask Mr. Edmondson, if you wanted to change, since we're in the process of doing this, is where everything says for the triennial license, it states that it's June 30th. Do you want those to change for it to be renewal on birthdays?
So I don't think we need to address that here because of the current legislation. If they get back into session, which they've technically taken a break, they haven't adjourned completely. So they may come back and address that specific bill. And it was flying through the legislation. I think it was going to pass. If they for some reason don't come back into session, I'm sure they'll run most of the bills that were at their conclusion in some sort of special session or at the next regular session. So I don't think we need to address that here.
Okay, thank you. Okay, continuing on, we are now going into rules. Page 18, I'm okay with those. Anybody disagree?
I have a quick question, if I could. This is Ryan. Do we, and maybe this is a question more for a legal interpretation, do we need to mention anything in here regarding the confidant tooth, or is that a different discussion for later on in the meeting?
Yes, this is Hardy.
Okay, so have a different, it'll come up in a little bit then?
Yes, it will.
Okay, sorry.
Thank you, that's okay. Okay, moving on to page 22. Oops, maybe not. 23, I mean. I'm okay with that. Oh, excuse me. It looks like, sorry, the bottom of page 22 and 23. I am okay with both of those. Anybody disagree? Actually, I take that back. On page 22, licensure by credential, I would make a motion that we strike the word on number one, regional. Testing agency.
This is Goodman. So just the word regional, so to have it say District of Columbia or testing agency or a testing agency?
Correct. And the reason why, when this was written, everything was for, we all had regional tests that we took, and that's changing. It's no longer specific by region.
But then do we keep the rest of that, the or a testing agency? That seems really broad. Like, wouldn't we need to reword it more?
This is Hardy. I don't think that we necessarily would, because unfortunately there are many ways to pathway for licensure, and depending upon the applicant coming in for credential, they could have taken tests from these different things by a state, a territory, District of Columbia, or a testing agency.
So could it be a cosmetology testing agency?
Yeah, I'm just wondering about interpretation when you say or.
Well, how about a board-approved testing agency?
Is there you go.
Approved? Yeah.
I like that. Approved testing agency.
Okay. So I will amend my motion to say or board-approved testing agency.
Morrow seconds.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Moving to page 23. I'm okay with this. Anybody disagree?
What about right here? I just highlighted regional again.
There you go.
Did I miss it?
All right, so Morrow requests changing the word regional testing agency under R4-11-202, section C, F, where it says regional testing agency to board approved testing agency.
Hardy seconds. We have a motion and a second. Any discussion?
Yeah, can we just make a general motion for anytime the verbiage regional testing agency is utilized to change it to approved testing agency? This is Harrow.
Yeah, I would do that and then ask staff, the ones that we don't see based on today's conversation, if that's a blanket motion, then we can bring it before the board as your recommendation to the board and hopefully take care of that and show all the amendments in red letter format.
So Morrow amends his to say anywhere it is notated through our rules about a regional testing agency that it be changed, the verbiage be changed by staff to board-approved testing agency.
Hardy agrees with that amendment and my second. Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
That's why Dr. Hero gets the big bucks.
All right, going down to page 24.
I was laughing, Ross, but I had my video off.
On page 24, there is another one in C that says regional. So just to point that out, we have already made a motion to cover that. And then moving to page 25. So I wanted to look at changing in number 4 to add in dental therapists. So except for a dental consultant license applicant, dental, comma, dental therapist, and dental hygiene license applicants.
So, sorry, this is Ryan again. That's already been addressed. It was addressed on April 10th when Jessica was with us. And in fact, Jessica's with us today, I believe, too. So if there's any questions that come up specifically to the rule, Jessica Ross, who's our rule writer, can help us. But that has been addressed through that rule change.
Okay, thank you. So then moving on to 4A, striking Western Regional Examining Board, where it appears a couple times in that one, and changing it to state or testing agency. So it would read, if applying for dental licensure by examination, a copy of the certificate or score passed the stage four testing age, including that the applicant passed, again, the state or testing agency examination within 5 years immediately before the date of the application is filed with the board.
Mrs. Morrow, Ms. Hardy, let's just do a blanket statement again. Anywhere we see Western Regional Examination Board, that we amend it to that verbiage that you just said.
Here are seconds.
We have a motion and a second.
Do we need to highlight the verbiage just to make sure we get it on the record?
Yes, I would, just to be clear, please.
So, Ms. Hardy, why don't you make the motion as the verbiage you were saying, and then someone else will second it.
So,
I would say...
You know, I actually, with that, I would say yes, but there are some where it's going to be striked out. So, yes, we can do a blanket statement that if we see Western Regional Examining Board, that we are changing it to state or testing agency. That is my motion.
Morrow seconds.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
So that's tomorrow, and then for staff, 4C has a regional testing agency.
Yes.
Yeah.
And also, though, in B, I would make a motion that we just completely strike Western Regional Examining Board. We do not need to fill it with the other, since it is already falling under our last blanket, not this one we just did.
Morrow seconds.
We have a motion and a second, and all in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Okay, so that is all I have. Oh, let's see, number 28. I am okay with that. Anybody disagree? Okay, so done with the changes to that. Now I would like to go on to talk about the confidant shoes. And this is going to be involved in a little bit with two, and it will lead us into our agenda item number 3 discussion as well. So we had... For Dr. Hero, a big discussion at our last Friday meeting, and as Dr. Morrow pointed out to you, some of the major concerns being with this tooth is it leaves out the element of a live patient, because it, even though it's a mannequin-based one, his concerns was you don't have the saliva, you don't have the tongue that you're pulling back. So do you want to expand on any of that, Dr. Morrow? Otherwise, I'll keep going.
Keep going.
Okay. So, again, this is Hardy. So I was privileged enough to be at one of the test sites for this tooth, and Dr. Waite is also on the line, and I know representatives from CDCA are on the line. Dr. Waite was also at that same pilot site as I was. And one thing that I can say when they talk about this tooth and why I'm actually in favor of accepting it is, especially when we tested it at the pilot, it was for class 3 restorations. And what has been found is that the candidates are finding class 3 restorations that wouldn't necessarily fillings placed in them in private practice. And they're finding them because they're easier. So when they were able to use this confidant tooth, I think it was about 50% of them failed because they were not checking for decay left behind. And every single one of them needed a modification request as well. So when I look at Dr. Morrow's concerns that he says, and I get, believe me, that we all have to work around saliva, we all have to work around tongue in the mouth, And then thinking of Dr. Champagne when he said at the last meeting that that's not truly what we're testing when we're testing for it. Yes, that testing, but it does play an impact to that final product that is being tested. So I understand Dr. Morrow's concern with that. If we don't have proper isolation, then you're not going to have the filling that is going to pass due to saliva contamination. But that being said, I feel that if we can test the components that we know that they know how to detect decay, do their prep, and then place the restoration, we are looking at entry-level candidates, and we are looking that when they continue in their practice, that they are going to further along with their control of those factors of dealing with the patient and saliva and the tongue. So, for instance, when I came out of hygiene school, I worked in a general dentist office, and at the same time, coincidentally, I worked at a pedo practice for 12 years. My patient management, let me tell you, over 12 years completely changed in pedo when I first started compared to 12 years later when I left the practice. I believe that if we can show that these candidates are competent in their ability to do what we're asking, that they can detect decay, they can see when they need to do a modification, when they're in the process of prepping the tooth, and then they can fill it, they will get the patient and saliva and wrestling around with the tongue as well. So, again, I believe that this is coming for a non-patient-based exam, and I would like to be more on the forefront of it than having somebody get into a legislator's ear and having legislation dictate to us that now we don't have any control over it. And I think that this is a very good first step into that process. So that's my opinion, and that's why I'm actually for the Compuadent tooth.
And this is Morrow, and I'm kind of the opposite. I don't want to be a forefront on this. I'd rather be a follower, just to make sure that we're not the only state that's doing it. Well, the only other state right now is Minnesota that's been approved for the past couple of years, and they've been the forefront to this. I don't know if we want to be the second state or the third state. I'd rather be like the 14th state or the 15th state to make sure that everybody else who goes through this doesn't have some of the early failures or any other concerns that come up in the meantime. I do think there are other issues that we need to be in the forefront on, things that are ethical and things that are right. I think that those are great things to be for, but when it comes to science and history and, you know, practice stuff, I worry about being the first one to do it. So that's my two cents.
Artie, thank you. Dr. Hero, Mr. Goodman, what are your thoughts on this?
I guess a couple. One would be, I would not want to see us make a permanent recommendation to the board based off of the temporary restrictions that we're all under right now. So meaning if part of the reason we're saying let's use this Compuadent tooth is because there's COVID restrictions that may prevent licensees from getting proper testing, then I think it needs to be like a temporary recommendation. I know that that is what we're talking about right now, but it was one thing I was thinking about yesterday as I was reviewing everything. The other concern I have is, and we've touched on it when we're talking about dealing with the tongue and saliva and patient management, and is that when you're going to have a complication doing clinical treatment, it's typically not because one thing came up. It's a cascade of events that'll happen. A difficult patient, excess saliva, and now you're struggling with the prep and maybe something goes south or you miss it. And when you start eliminating other potential sources of stress or difficulty, I don't know that we're really doing these applicants a favor by isolating a situation into testing just the prep. Now, maybe that's the purpose of the test. So, and if it is, then I guess that's a different conversation. But I think it's worth something, worth thinking about, certainly.
You know, and this is Mauro again. You know, I was one of the dental students that had to pay my patient to come in and get their filling done. You know, and so I can appreciate the difficulty of finding patients, finding the right patients, getting reliable patients. But again, I think that the inevitability is that anyone who graduates dental school, most people get through. And I don't think it's a matter of having a similar pass rate or, you know, being more difficult or having more stipulations or harder to pass. You know, I don't think that that's the nature of this. I think it's just one of those things that you've got to get through at completion to be able to get licensure. And as long as the test is fair, it's reasonable, and that you can demonstrate that you can work on a patient safely. That's, again, I always come back to patient safety, patient safety, patient safety. Not a matter of if you can cut a class two. I can teach my 16-year-old daughter to cut a class two. You know, whether they can cut it on the Compudon and find the K and look at the extensions and all the other things that can come into play here, I agree. That's difficult. But Dr. Hero said, as long as we're not making the decision based on COVID-19 situation, I think there are a couple other options that we have to get through COVID-19. But once we put it on rules, then it stays on rules, unless we have some other major change happening. But again, I don't want to be the first one to get on the train. I'd rather be the early to middle adopter on this one.
Yeah, this is Goodman. First off, I love the stubble there, Dr. Hero. Beyond that, I am of the belief that we should not be the second adopter in much of anything. My question, though, and I believe it came up on one of the previous calls from someone else, because of the licensing that we're doing in Arizona, does it matter that much? I mean, this would only be how we act for new dentists coming here. Somebody already practiced in Minnesota for a year, and no issues with the board, they now have an Arizona license, basically. So does adoption rate matter as much now that we're accepting licenses from the rest of the country?
Mr. Goodman, that's a great point. But that goes back down to the comment we made at the beginning when we talked about residency. You know, if they go to a one-year residency, do I really think they need an exam? Do they really think they need, you know, I don't think so, you know, at that point. Those dentists coming out of dental school, again, that's a totally different point. But at the same time, you spend a year practicing in Minnesota, and now you get a license. I'm okay with that because, one, that's law. Law has been done. But two, we've got new dentists coming out, and we've got to make sure our licensures are going to be, because what we do in 3 to 5 years typically will extend to most other states in the union. Yeah, so our license also can be applicable to other states as well. So.
Yeah, and I like that point that, so if we become the second state, it's a lot easier for a third, fourth, fifth state, and so we do have to weigh it on the merit of, is it the right thing for dentists? And really, all three of you have a much better understanding of that than me.
I agree about not being the first or the second. I did want to say, I thought President Hardy brought up a great point about class three preps that maybe are being done on patients because they're simpler. We're in private practice. We're probably not treating those in class three decays, and that's fortunate that then now, for the sake of a test, it's being done.
You know, that's a good point. And before getting on a testing examiner, I'm an examiner for a testing board. I have the concern about ethics, but after doing it and being on the verification of it, if I don't agree, then there has to be another doctor that doesn't agree too. Or if I agree, then it's fine. But again, we're calibrated. All doctors are calibrated to make sure that we fall within that, I think it's 80% rule, that everyone has taken a test and we all look at the same tooth and we all agree 80% of the time that filling needs to be done. You know, I would like to hear Dr. Wade's opinion on this. He's here and I think he's a value of information because he's been on multiple different testing agencies, been on the dental board for years. I value his opinion too.
Okay, this is Dr. Waite. So some of the things that I've been looking at, I don't disagree with anything that what you're saying, but one of the things that I've noticed for the last several years while on the board and doing with different dealing with these tests, I wholeheartedly agree with the fact that in treating patients for this exam, the problem is everything is headed towards a non-patient-based exam at some point. You look currently what, you know, Mr. Goodman just mentioned where we are right now as a state. The dental board had absolutely nothing, no say in what the governor said. So after 1 year, you don't even have to do a residency. You can do portfolio. It doesn't matter how you got your license. If you have a license in any state, you can come to Arizona if you don't have any issues after 1 year. And they're looking at right now with the COVID issues that they're doing, they're going to give a temporary license to dental students coming out of school, not doing anything. It could be up to 6 months. And so what are we doing to protect the public? And now, if 6 months later they've been practicing on patients, and now you tell them they got to go back and take a test, legally, I don't know where that's going to stand. But I think everything is going away from patient-based exams. As much as I don't like that, and any of the testing agencies would tell you that they don't think that that's a good idea, we've got legislators and governors that are going to make the decisions for us. And I think one of the biggest things, talking to Ryan the other day, there was an article that came out that talked about their thinking. You know, it's been mentioned before that dental is so much different than medical. There's one pathway to licensure in medical as opposed to in dental. There was 11, there's possibly as much as 12 or 13 different pathways. And because we're not all on the same page, they're starting to throw up their hands and say, you know what, you don't even need to take a clinical exam. Come out, maybe do a year residency, maybe just graduate dental school. Those are some of the things they're looking at doing away with all of these. So I did see the confidant, how it worked with the students, and a lot of them were not able to really diagnose decay off of that confidant too. I think it did what it was supposed to do. I think it's very reliable alternative to a patient. You're absolutely right. You don't have the patient management, the tongue, the saliva, and all the other issues that come up with a patient. But I just think that it's going to get to the point that somebody else is going to make that decision, and it's not going to be the dental board down the road. And again, you may say that's fine, then we'll deal with it when that happens. But I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing to be kind of on the forefront. Again, you know, Reb has mentioned, and I know Dr. Christensen's on and will probably talk about it, but they've got a non-patient-based portion as well. And so everybody's looking at going that route because we know that that's where everybody is pushing that. So, you know, and I don't know how easy or difficult it is to get rules changed so that if it's something you just put temporary now, you know, to go back in and make it a permanent thing. I just think that it's not that I disagree with the comments that you made. I agree with pretty much all of them, Dr. Morrow and Dr. Hero. But I just think that it's a totally different atmosphere that we're living in today and we're going to be in the future. And planning for the future, we're trying to protect the public. And if we don't come together as a group, testing agencies, dental boards, that we're all more on the same page of how we test these students, and we're going to be left out of the decision making altogether. So I don't know how helpful that is. I thought it was a very well done tooth in what it tested these students. It tested things that I had seen on other exams when they do class threes, and same thing with class twos. They find, and I don't blame them, you find the very easiest restoration that you could in decay and to do the restoration, the easiest thing that you can find, which is fine, that there's nothing wrong with that, but they're not a lot of times truly being tested. And so if you have something like this with the tooth, you know, it's almost impossible to get to a treatment plan. I mean, they're not going to, the way it is, you know, they're given an x-ray, they have a tooth, they don't know what tooth they're going to get. They don't know the extent of decay till they get into it, and then they have to diagnose and treat that. When there's modifications, they have to be able to do the modifications accurately and properly. And so there's a lot to it, and decay takes that. It's not necessarily by color. And so a lot of them failed because they couldn't diagnose decay just because it wasn't the brown color that we normally would see with decay. As opposed to decay should be the slight tug back with an explorer. And so anyway, I think things are heading. I don't like the way things are heading. I don't think we're going to be able to stop it, as those of you that are on the dental board and the testing agencies, I think that's where it's headed, and everybody's trying to kind of get ahead of that to be able to test to what they think people want in the future with non-patient based. You know, the ADA's got their OSCE that's coming out in June. You know, again, it sounds like there's no hands-on on that. So at least I think Reb and CDCA have a hands-on portion of that, which I like. So those are the comments that I have. If any of you have questions based on what I said, I'd be glad to try to answer or help.
And this is Morrow. I think Reb is still a ways off before they get their tooth where they want it as well. So
this is Goodman. Dr. Wade, it's just great to hear your voice and see you.
Hey, thanks. You guys too. I miss you.
Dr. Wade, we never formally met, but I really appreciate your input, and it was well stated. Thank you.
Thanks, Dr. Hero.
This is Hardy. So with Dr. Waite's comments, anybody have any comments in addition to what was already stated?
This is President Hardy. This is Dr. Christensen. Can you hear me?
I can. Thank you.
Yes, I might just add a little bit of clarification. It's true that Reb also is developing a simulated tooth for all the reasons that have been explained, and I don't find fault with anything that I've heard from anyone. Actually, I commend what you're doing with your rules and with the changes that you're recommending. I provided some information for you from Reb, but it should be clear that that is not something that that Reb views as competing with the Compedont tooth going forward. It seems like the research that was done with the Compedont tooth and the design of the study, the field tests that they did last fall, were well thought out, and I don't find fault with the way they attempted to do that. Reb hasn't yet found a simulation that is of the quality that it wants to present yet, but I'm sure that it will. The stuff that we've provided, that Reb has provided, the information that it's provided to you, is not intended to be anything going forward, but just a provisional solution for problems that exist this year. You know, there are a lot of complications with graduation for students and also with dental education programs, and Reb is really responsive, not to them. We're concerned about the crisis that the profession's having right now, but basically Reb is serving state boards, providing results that they can rely on to make informed licensing decisions, and that's what we care about. So in this circumstance, the options that have been provided in the information that we've presented, if you read through that, are just provisional, would be just for this year under the present circumstances. And some states, it looks like, are going to take advantage of those options for whatever's going on in their states, and many are not. Reb, at this point, remains a strong advocate of patient-based testing. and the fidelity that accompanies patient-based testing. So I'm happy to answer any questions if you have questions.
Thank you. This is Hardy. Before we, if you all have any questions for him, before we go that route, to finish first, because that is a great segue to go to agenda item number 3, which I think that deals with a little bit more. So to finish first on the Computant tooth, that specifically I wanted to bring up to see, as we were doing rule and statute changes, if that would be something that you all wanted to recommend to the board as an accepted non-patient-based restorative portion of the exam. It sounds like the 3 out of the 4 of us, myself being the outlier, is not quite ready to approve that yet. Am I correct in that? Or did anybody change their opinion after hearing Dr. Waite?
Ms. Hardy, I think we should make a motion and see if it's seconded, and then vote, instead of assuming.
Okay. So here's the one thing that I don't want to happen if I did that. I don't want the motion to fail at this point. I would rather just take no action on it as being an approved one. So if we don't take action on it, then in the future, it's something that can again be discussed.
I don't think a failed action is not going to allow it to be discussed in the future, partially because we already wrote it into the rules that we can accept it and adopt it later on if you'd like.
Okay.
Or approved. So I don't think you're wrong. I don't think your assumption's wrong in that. So.
Okay, so this is Hardy. I would make a motion, and this is nothing to do with COVID-19, so I am talking about a complete acceptance for the Computant tooth for the restorative Class 2 and or Class 3 restorations from here moving forward indefinitely.
Goodman, second.
So we have a motion and a second. Any discussion?
Yeah, I second it so that we can vote. I don't think I have enough knowledge to be able to support or decline. So don't be surprised by my vote when we get to that point.
All right. I assumed somebody was going to need to do that with the way discussion was heading. All right.
Hardy, would you just repeat your motion? I cut out for a second when you were saying it.
Sure. My motion was that to approve the Computant tooth for Class 2 and or Class 3 restorations for the restorative portion that fits our statutes and rules moving forward. So this is not a COVID-19 temporary thing.
Okay, this is Seth. You called agenda item 3 regarding COVID-19.
I said that we were going to get to that, but if anybody had questions for Dr. Christensen, that's more applicable to agenda item 3, but I wanted to finish agenda item 2 before we move to that.
Okay, but the way I'm not sure the way you worded the motion, if it technically falls under an agenda item. If you want to identify a specific statute or rule where that would be incorporated into, that may bring it within something that's been properly noticed. Under 2, it's kind of reviewing current statute or rules, recommending changes. Your motion right now is just kind of doing a general policy change going forward. It would be better to identify a specific statute or rule where that would be adopting this type of testing would fall into.
So, Ms. Hardy, let's go back to where we made a board-approved non-patient exam. Can we go back to that rule then, Seth?
Yeah, in order for it to really fit under this agenda, you're going to have to identify a specific statute or rule that this would fall under.
Yeah, so let's go back to the rule where we are possibly accepting a non-patient-based test at the beginning of our meeting today. I don't know what the rule number was, but we approved that it would go through.
Can we put it on that roulette?
This is here just for clarification. Are we then voting that if the board decided to accept a non-patient-based exam, then the CompuDon tooth would be acceptable?
Yep.
Okay.
And this would fall under the previous rule that was already put in place in section... I need help with that number.
So this is Ryan. I think that it's maybe more of a blanket motion that it would be applicable to all statutes and rules where there's been a change for non-patient-based tests. So we started with, I think, 32-1233. So I don't want to speak for Ms. Hardy, but I think it would be more of a blanket motion to cover, kind of similar to the other ones where it said Western Regional. We're taking out that and adding in a testing center or something similar. This would affect all statutes and rules in which we've made a motion, not we, I just included myself as part of the board, where you made a motion to make amendments where you're accepting non-patient-based exams. Am I clear?
Okay, so this is Seth. So if that's the case, maybe if the motion was worded along the lines of if the board takes action to approve non-patient-based testing, that the board also consider allowing this particular type of exam to be allowable.
Using the CompuDon. Yep, I think that's good.
So, this is Hardy. One question, Seth. The board already does accept non-patient-based. They already accept the symptomatic portion, and the symptomatic portion is being non-patient-based. They just want to clarify that. So this would be adding on to another medication that would be okay with being non-patient-based.
Okay.
Okay. Just wanted to say that on the record. So this is Hardy. I will amend my motion to say if the board chooses to accept the recommendation from the committee regarding the statute and rule changes, adding in the non-patient-based wording, that I would ask them also to consider accepting the CompuDon tooth to be a tooth that would be applicable to the Class 2 and or Class 3 restorative portion of those clinical examinations.
And Goodman amends his second.
So we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion?
I do. So the discussion then, because the way you worded that's a little different. If it goes to the board, and if the board approves it, is the CompuDon would be approved. That's what you're saying.
No, I believe the motion was that if the board approves those other changes, that they also consider accepting the CompuDon tooth. So it wouldn't be caught up in, it would be a two-step process. First, the board would have to accept the first changes, and if so, then they would have to consider and take action to accept the CompuDon tooth exam portion.
Right. So my thought was, and I'm not trying to vote, but I'm making sure that I'm getting this right. If they accept the non-patient based, I think the CompuDon tooth is probably the best of what we got right now, if that's the route we're going. But I don't think we should be going a non-patient based right now, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
So this is Hardy. To clarify my motion, it's exactly how Seth said. So I wanted to change I recommended that the rules and statutes be changed that would allow non-patient based opportunities to come before the board. So that's one separate thing that we've already voted on for the board to consider. Again, to clarify, this motion on the table is with that already being considered with the board. The second motion that I would make is that the board take their first step in this non-patient-based tooth to then be approved. So completely separate from the rule and legislative changes. And the rule and legislative changes could be voted to be approved, and then they could choose to approve this tooth or not accept it at this point. Does that clarify for you, Dr. Morrow?
Gosh, I don't know. let me
me ask a question, because I think Dr. Barra and you and I are both struggling with the same confusion right now. So if the board did not vote to accept the regulation change in non-clinical dental treatment, then this is kind of
non-point
at that point, because we wouldn't even consider a confidant tooth if that first regulation isn't approved. Is that correct?
That's how I would understand it.
Okay.
And we are a committee. This is Goodman. So we are making recommendations to the board. So the board, of course, then will debate and discuss it again. So.
And this is Hardy again on more discussion on this motion in a second. I know that it may need to be in a motion worded that way based on our legal advice, but at the same time, we already accept some non-patient-based portions of those tests. So in its entirety, this vote should not be dependent upon those rule and statute changes. We already accept portions, so it's, but I understand that it may need to be based on how this is agendaized. So that could still come up in a future agenda item, depending upon what these votes move forward when it goes to the full board.
I just, my concern is I don't want to kill the confidant, because I think it's the best of what we got right now. If we vote against it, that means it can't come up to vote in the future. For the immediate future. I guess it can come up later. But at the same time, it's probably better. All right, I think I got it.
If I may, this is Seth. I don't think that this, if the committee doesn't recommend it, I don't think that closes the door on it. The board can always bring up an issue on their agenda to discuss, regardless of what the committee does. So I don't think it necessarily closes the door.
Perfect. Thank you, Seth.
Seth, I have a question for you. This is Hardy. If we continue forward with this vote, though, based on how we have to word it, with how the agenda was worded, if it continues forward and the, let's say the first part of all the motions passed with the rule and statutes, and second part is voted down regarding the confidant tooth, is there a time frame that it cannot be then brought back up?
I don't believe so. This is, you know, you're essentially an advisory committee. You're making recommendations to the board. If the committee doesn't vote to make that recommendation to the board, the board's not going to be made aware of that the committee didn't push that forward. It could still be put on the next board agenda for discussion and review. It just wouldn't have a committee recommendation to it.
Okay. I agree with Dr. Morrow. I don't want this to be somehow voted down without further opportunity for discussion with it, which is why I was hesitant to even make a motion when I know that y'all are more on the other fence than I am.
And this is Morrow. I don't mean to make it difficult. I believe it's important. So I just wanted to make sure we got it right. So.
Well, this is Seth. The committee can defer this issue to the full board without taking a position on it, and just have the discussion and dialogue on the board level as opposed to the committee level.
This is Hardy. Thank you for that advice, Seth. Unfortunately, when you were cutting out on our last meeting a week ago, the board, myself, actually referred this discussion to be discussed more with the committee, because there was a lot of dissension on agreements last week. So I was trying to make it a bit more concise to bring it back to the board this way.
But it may just be a matter of bringing it back to the board to say you couldn't reach a consensus.
It could be.
I say hold the vote. See what happens, and then we may have to kick it back to the board.
All right. Any further discussion? We have a motion and a second on the table. Ms. Bates, can we have a roll call, please?
Yes. Hardy?
Aye.
Goodman?
Abstain.
Hero?
Aye.
Morrow?
Nay.
It passes 2-1.
Yeah.
That's right. Motion carries 2-1 with Morrow voting nay and Mr. Goodman abstaining. Motion carries. Okay, so now that's going to segue as on to agenda item number 3, items for committee review, discussion, and possible recommendation. This is regarding the recommendation to the board regarding COVID-19, Governor Ducey's Executive Order 2020-17. And continuity of work, where the executive order permits the board discretion regarding electronic and or remote format examinations for licensure air feasible. So again, this is Hardy. As I read that executive order, on number 1D, where it says make every attempt to implement electronic or remote format examinations for licensure where feasible. First of all, I think that the governor allowing the candidates to be licensed on that provisional license for 6 months, I really think that even though, as Dr. Waite said, see how this goes when they haven't taken a, possibly their clinical examinations, but we are dealing with something right now that is so out of the norm that these poor candidates who are trying to graduate and get licensed and start their work, geez, I mean, goodness, it's very difficult. So I do agree with the governor's decision, not that that matters, but I am happy that he has given them this opportunity to become licensed for the provisional license. I believe that where it lies in the where it's feasible, that in my opinion, we as a board still have our duty, that we are still out there to protect the public. So I am not in favor of completely going electronic with no hands-on portion. And to talk about, for instance, we got the information from the ADA's OSCE that's going to be coming live as a possible opportunity. I appreciate that information for sure, but on page 47 of theirs, it says that the hand skill assessment is not included in this portion. So I personally am not in favor of it, because once the testing centers open back up, the candidates, the students, the then provisional licensed dentist, dental hygienist, dental therapist can come in and they can still have a skill assessment. And I still feel that that is important to protect our public. So I am for that portion of it. I am not for just using an OSCE type or even going with some of the information that Reb sent to us was great with what other states are doing, but even how some of them are only using their CTP exam, I'm not for that as well either. I would like there to be some hands-on portion in the future when testing centers, that would be probably schools, open back up.
So this is Mark. Sorry about that, Mr. Goodman. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you, sir. My concern is right now the need for additional dentists in Arizona is none. I feel for the students that are graduating, but when it comes to public safety, when it comes to giving care, we have much more capacity than we have the ability to do because so much is limited what can be done. I believe that there will be a day that we definitely need more dentists, but that'll be the same day when we can test. So the urgency to provide licenses to people that aren't properly tested seems like it's a like almost some false logic being presented, and it concerns me greatly, and I believe that we should put off granting the licenses until we can make sure we are giving licenses to the right people.
So this is Morrow. That's a good point, Mr. Goodman. The only concern I have is you are now eliminating someone from making a wage, and you're taking away their ability to do a profession. And who knows? This may all open up May 1st, and at May 1st, we may be very, very slammed. There's going to be a tsunami of dental work that's going to come. I have patients beyond my door to come to you. Now, the thing that bothered me originally was not it was that we required an exam within 20 days of the first one becoming available. That, I think, is hard. I think it's very, very hard to get together an exam within 20 days because you have to have examiners that come fly in from different parts of the state. You have to orchestrate with dental universities to set up clinics and choose patients and all those things. That highly concerned me. I do know in New York, they graduated all their medical students without going to residency to help with the COVID-19 because it was unique. My suggestion and my thought was let's grant licensure to anyone who has passed their national board, you know, all the stuff that they take to graduate dental school, with the exception of the hands-on portion, and that hands-on portion has to be completed by December 31st. You do that, that's going to give everybody a chance to open up, set up exams, and that those exams, the license will be processed under the same number, their same license number that they're going to get, but have an expiration date of December 31st, 2020. At that point, then they have to pass the exam to renew that license starting in January 1, 2021. And for that, you know, 6 months or 5 months or whatever it is when they graduate, they may not start right away, Mr. Goodman. They may not be able to get in right away to a practice. There may not be need for them right now. But hopefully they can find proper compensation. Their student loans are going to start coming due. All those things are going to start coming due once they graduate. And if we haven't provided them an opportunity to get licensure, I think we're holding up a lot of things. But at the same time, we're setting up a place for them to prove competency, and additionally, they've been working on live patients for 2 years, so they've already been working on patients. They pass their national boards, make sure they pass all digital formats of everything. The CTE exam is a hard test. I grade that, and it's not easy. It's very safe. It teaches them, you know, proper anesthetic usage. The things that keep patients safe are on there. So that's my concern. That's my possible solution, is that we grant licensure through the end of the year with, at any point, doing a hands-on portion to renew that license.
This is
yeah. Go ahead. Sorry.
And Mr. Hargreaves, if you wouldn't mind, I think, and I'm not saying I disagree with either one of you, but I think what you guys are saying is a moot point because that's changing the executive order, which we cannot do. So the executive order says that we are to grant the provisional license, and at that point for 6 months. But as soon as the first testing agency opens up, and when we're talking about a clinical examination, we're talking about a school. So as soon as that provisional license for everybody expires 20 days later. So Mr. Hargreaves, if you would confirm or deny that when Mr. Edmondson and I have talked about reuniting options for that. That's just how it's written and how it is, and we have to abide by that.
Right. The board has, you have your current requirements for licensure. This executive order kind of supersedes that, and it sets, and it's only during the declared state of emergency. And so you're basically limited to how the executive order is laid out. If you can't really vary from that unless you've got separate authority to do so, which I don't believe exists in this case. So, you know, under the executive order, the first step is to make every attempt to do the testing through electronic or remote formats if you can, but if you can't, then it goes into the provisional license and then the parameters once the testing sites reopen. So, yeah, as palatable as, you know, what the committee members are talking about to try to work up a resolution, to the extent it goes beyond the executive order, I don't believe the board has the authority to do that at this time.
This is Goodman. I appreciate the clarification, President Hardy, because you're right, we're going to follow the executive order. Question for you, Seth. Can we make it so that instead of within 20 days, that it's longer for the provisional testing? Because I'm with Dr. Morrow on that. If everybody has to do it within 20 days, like, how logistically, they're going to then have to hang up their career for some short period of time, or many of them will.
So it's null and void at that point, and because they have to stop seeing patients.
I have an update. This is Ryan, and I got this update yesterday from the governor's office that kind of helps interpret this. So, and probably too late to let you guys know. So let me just read it. I'll put it up on my screen too, if you give me a second. Okay. So I don't know if you can see my screen, but this is from Trista Guzman. And she basically says, I know many testing centers are opening for exams, and there have been many questions related to provisional licenses. With limited testing slots available, the test may not be readily available for all individuals. Please continue to grant provisional licenses during this time and until the provisional licensee is available to prove their testing date. If the provisional licensee does not take the test or fails, that is when the provisional license will be suspended. I think that she's still maybe misinterpreted what the governor wants, but the suspension date is 20 days after the test. So I think what they're saying is we're not waiting for all testing agencies. What we're waiting for is hopefully these applicants to be able to test. She's a policy advisor from the governor's office, and she basically is the one that tells the health boards on how to interpret this provisional, well, the whole order, basically, but in this specific thing is the only thing that she's written to all health boards. So I don't know if that changes anything other than the fact that I think what you guys do have discretion in is what electronic testing you can accept based on the order and how it reads where feasible. And I think that that's the only discretionary portion of the order that you guys could be looking at.
This is Dr. Hero. Do we know what the availability is for the non-patient-based clinical testing?
I am not. I think Dr. Christensen is still on the phone, as well as CDCA, and they may have a better understanding of that.
This is Dr. Christensen. All of the alternative options that Rev has presented to you are just provisional for COVID-19. And in terms of the CTP, that's like the other OSCEs, it's not available until the testing center is open. Until Prometric, again, is able to test people, and there will be a backlog for them to get in. The other alternative the Rev's presenting for dentistry for 2020, just for the COVID situation, is a hands-on, all simulation, and it is not the quality of the competent tooth, but it is something that is available. All the teeth really are available in inventory. They've been manufactured. There's a shipment that still needs to arrive about the middle of May. That test would be available beginning in June 1st or before at sites where it can be accommodated, and we have piloted that, field tested it with social distancing. So it has some relevance. It is a hand skill test. And I sent information about that, including the kinds of responses we received from candidates in those field tests that might be of interest to the board. But it's not meant to be a solution going forward. It's not the simulated tooth Rev will present at some point. It's just a provisional solution to accommodate the situation in 2020, the COVID-19 situation.
Thank you, Dr. Christensen. This is Hardy. I'm back. I think first to Mr. Goodman's point, we already have come to establish that we can't do that right now. I think to Dr. Morrow's point of extending their license to no matter what a blanket to December, I think with Mr. Edmondson's clarification, I think that this brings a whole lot of stress relief off of the examining boards and even to what Dr. Morrow was saying, because it's not going to be that they have to get in within 20 days of when the first one is administered, which is what we had originally thought it was based on the wording of this order. It's going to be when each individual candidate can come in. So that's going to open up the entire second half, hopefully, of our year, depending on when things open back up again. To Dr. Hero's point on the testing centers and when they're becoming available, it sounds like the electronic testing centers that are our written-based portion of our exams are, of course, going to be opening up sooner than the clinical-based ones. And from talking with the different examining boards, and even just looking at myself as an examiner, what prospective dates that boards are talking about with the schools, they are tentatively scheduling as early as Dr. Christensen said, June, July, August. So it should be something that filtering through the rest of the year, the candidates at that point could then get in to fulfill the clinical portion. And then on to Dr. Christensen's tooth. A question for you, Dr. Christensen. The tooth that's in development right now, does it have the decay that's able to be diagnosed, or is it mainly a tooth that's come from a typodont that then just gets prepped?
So what's in development and being reviewed is a tooth that has caries and a pulp as well. And you're going to find, I think, all the agencies are moving in this direction with one vendor or another somehow. So eventually that will be a possibility that the board would want to consider. However, what's being offered for this COVID-19 year as a provisional solution is not that. It's only the Acadental Module Pro 1 with the standard teeth. And I think I sent to Ryan some information on that that could be shared. It's a more limited exercise for sure, but it is a hands-on exercise.
Thank you.
So this is Morrow. I liked hearing what Mr. Edmondson said. The thing that popped out of me is that if they do not have a date available, that they have a they've scheduled that date in the future. So that tells me that it's valid until they do that, as long as they schedule within 20 days of that testing site opening. Now, the testing site could be region to region. We could have some in Oklahoma, and we could have some in Texas, and we could have some in Arizona. Now, does that mean that as soon as Arizona opens, or sorry, as soon as Texas opens, that they may be first, and that may put everybody on a hold, and everybody has to go to Texas to go to that exam? I don't think that that's reasonable, but I think that if you put in that, you know, and hopefully REB and CDCA and NERB, that's not NERB anymore, but all those different testing facilities are going to try and come up with dates and times of reasonable locations as soon as they're available, within 20 days of them becoming available, that participant has their test booked during that 20-day period. I think that's reasonable to wait until that test date comes. So that's how I read it, or I heard it.
Thank you. This is Hardy again. One comment on that. Mr. Edmondson, do you believe the executive order reads that if any testing agency, clinically speaking, so maybe a university that's going to be administering an exam, opens nationwide, then that's when the 20 days starts ticking? Or I just assumed it was our state, and maybe I was wrong in that assumption. When a first exam is held in our state.
Yeah, so My interpretation is when it's available for the graduates of Arizona, if they're testing in Arizona. So we're not going to require them to fly to the Northeast region or Northwest region to test. But it doesn't have to mean that all testing centers are reopened, because the order's written to cover every single health profession, not just dental profession. So it's not all testing centers, but testing centers. I think that if one opens, they're all going to start to try to reopen pretty routinely, just because nobody wants to lose out simply because they were slow to reopen.
But there may be state restrictions. So if we have someone who is coming from Nebraska and they have a longer state restriction than we do, and they do the Reb in Nebraska, can they wait till Nebraska sets a date and a time and still maintain an Arizona license until, well, they're here though. They're already here at that point. So yeah. I'm glad I'm not a senior in dental school this year.
Hey, this is Wade. If I could make a comment to Dr. Morrow's concern, sorry. I thought the same thing, that 20 days, and that'd be almost impossible for them to get set up and be able to do that. But they do have the option, because I know Rev, they've already got exams, and again, it's kind of tentative, but they've rescheduled exams already for June at some of these schools. And you got to remember, all of these students aren't coming just from the state of Arizona. They're students from all over the country that may be wanting to come to Arizona, but currently are in school somewhere else. That as those states and those dental schools let Rev or CDCA or the other testing agencies start doing their exams, those students can start going to any of those exams. You know, if they're open, contact Rev and say, hey, if you know, I'm scheduled in Boston the first part of June. If that's still available, then they can take it, and there's openings, they can go to Boston and take it in June. So it's not like once Arizona opens up that they have to go and have to try to find a place. They can start looking as soon as Rev and CDC and these other testing agencies start testing at the different locations.
Thank you.
That was my thought too. This is Morrow. So.
And this is Hardy again. I just wanted to clarify, Alex Van Diver, I noticed at one point your mute turned off. I wanted to see if there was something you wanted to add on the subject, if you were waiting to jump in.
Thank you, President Hardy. I just was making myself ready in case there were questions related to it. I think Dr. Christensen covered things quite well. As noted, we're having examinations in multiple different places, and we expect that there's going to be different timing that's available based on the jurisdiction, the conditions that are in that state, and we are making rescheduling those examinations based on what the schools can do, what the conditions are in that state, and some of those are being rescheduled as early as late May, and while we have others that have moved them all the way to December, depending on the state and what their school is looking to do and the conditions there. So it's all over the place. We're just looking to take care of the classes as they are coming about, as I know that Rev is as well. So again, I think everybody is focused on just following through with their commitments and trying to make sure that we're doing everything we can to support this in the short term, but also make sure that everybody's safe along the way.
Thank you. This is Hardy. So I think there were a lot of questions answered, which is great. And I think now our focus needs to be in interpreting that. It sounds like, based on Mr. Goodman and Dr. Amaro's discussion and myself, that we are not in favor of opening anything up to only be an electronic exam, that we are wanting that clinical portion, and that goes to, because we are also, thankfully, the students have that 6-month window so they can get their license, but we also have to look out for the public for them to complete that other portion of our law. So going that way, is there anyone in favor, as Dr. Christensen has said, they have that tooth that is being worked on. As of this point, it's not finished. Would anybody like a provision to allow that in the test for specifically COVID-19?
This is Hero. I think it'd be prudent to put that in there upon board approval. You know, so the board would have the option of allowing that without having to have an emergency meeting and try to implement it last minute. But I think it'd be prudent to have some language in there for that. Yes,
President Hardy, this is Christensen again. Red is not offering that. That is the tooth that is under development has not been completely field tested. It has not been validated, and that's not being offered. For 2019, what it's offering is a much simpler exercise that's still hands on, and that Rev has the inventory and capability of providing right away, like within starting the middle of May, if there are sites that want to do that. And it would be your decision whether or not to accept that alternative for COVID alternative for 20 for this year or not. But the tooth under development is not being offered as an alternative by REB. We're not comfortable with that.
This is Hardy. I apologize for stating it. I did actually know that in my mind, and it did not come out properly in my wording then. So to Dr. Hero's point, I hear what you're saying on that, and I actually disagree with you. I am
humbly.
I'm actually not in favor of using that tooth to allow for testing even under these special circumstances, because I don't think it's a true test of what we're looking for in our clinical exam. So I am in favor that we keep our clinical exam to what it says in legislation. Depending upon what happens with the board vote coming up at our next board meeting, that may mean that the competent tooth is allowed, but that's just being allowed based on our board vote, and this has nothing to do with COVID-19. It just may benefit the COVID-19 scenario, but it's not anything special. So I'm under a bit of the opposite. I would like things to stay standard how they are, because our candidates do have that 6-month window. So I don't feel that we should lessen our entry into our workforce and our standards when they are already going to be able to practice and then still take the competency test that we have in place for patient safety.
This is Morrow. I'm agreeing with Ms. Hardy here that I think that what we could do, and I don't know if this is even possible, this is all logistics for board staff, is as soon as it becomes available, testing sites become available, that we send an email out or a letter out stating you have 20 days to sign up for said exam to maintain your license, and have to show proof that you set your exam up. I think if we do that, then that follows the governor's order that we've followed that 20-day rule. We've also granted temporary licensure for that period of time, and we've advocated for them to have a patient hands-on portion. I think that's reasonable. I don't know if it's feasible. And I leave that to you, Mr. Edmondson.
Sorry. So, yeah, I don't even know how much discretion the board really has in this. Again, I think it's still an executive order.
Right.
And I think that whatever we can... the whole thing talks about where feasible. I don't know what the definition of feasible is.
And I'm talking about from an office staff point, a staff point. Gosh, bad. That we have the ability to contact all these temporary licensures, stating we now have exams available. Therefore, if you do not sign up for an exam by this date, your license will be void. You will know. Yeah. You know what I mean?
That, Yeah, and I don't think that, I honestly, I don't know how many, I just wrote a report because of another issue that is unrelated to today's meeting. I can cover it at the end, but we on average probably license 20 hygienists per month and 20 dentists per month. Denturists are not, we have 12 total in the state, so there's not even an average to compare on that. So based on those numbers, I don't think that it would be a difficult number to try to track of people that we grant provisional licenses. And Christina brought this up yesterday, that we need to start tracking these ones with provisional licenses, because we actually, or she, I'm taking credit for what she's done. We think, I just said it again, doggone it, Christina believes that the governor's office will likely want to find out these numbers. And we only have to provide them if we're tracking them, but it's always a good idea to be responsive and ready if these come up. So I think that what we can do is then track them and then be able to respond to these people quickly to get the word out that these testing centers have reopened, your license will be suspended 20 days from now, yada, yada, yada. We can cover all of those bases.
Yeah, I think that's, at this point, I think being reasonable and logical makes a lot of sense during this time of craziness. The only thing that is hard is that the governor's tied our hands from being logical and reasonable by some of the wording that he has. But I think that that's how we can get around that. Follow the governor's rule, follow the dental, what our recommendation would be, and keeps everybody happy and takes care of the new dentists. I think that that's all reasonable, and also patients, takes care of patients too, because you know within a short period of time they're going to have a hands-on portion. So
this is Hardy. Deb Kappas brought up a point that a lot of the testing centers fill up, and she's concerned that testing capacity will be an issue, so that they max out before all polling candidates can get scheduled. And correct me if I'm wrong on this, but under that point, Mr. Edmondson, the candidate is not going to be penalized because they've tried to get into a test and everything is full. So they would have to then wait for a test to be offered for them. Am I correct on that?
I'm under the assumption this is Morrow. There are multiple testing sites throughout the United States we can't make sure everybody has a test here in Arizona. If you have to go to New Mexico or you have to go to Colorado to get your testing site, that's part of getting a license. When I was in New York, if I'd have graduated the year before, I wouldn't have been able to take the rep in New York. I would have gone out west somewhere. So it's part of, like Dr. Wade said, there are licensed testing sites all over the United States, and if you become available in Arizona and you didn't get in, you didn't sign up fast enough, you may have to go take that in another state.
Okay. So does anybody else have discussion on this? I think we see where it's going, and if there's no other discussion, I'm going to make a motion for a recommendation to be brought to the board. Okay, so this is Hardy. I make a motion that we as a committee, that we recommend to the board regarding the possible recommendation under the Executive Order 2020-17 in reference to COVID-19, that we have in place the electronic formats for our written portions of our tests that are in our legislation, that it is not feasible to test clinically and protect the public with an electronic format. So we are recommending no action be taken that will change how the testing is going to be performed, and that the candidates and new applicants will still get licensed for their 6-month provisional license until the testing centers open up.
Up to six months.
That's my motion. Is there a second?
You might also have to add to that and have a exam booked as as early as possible after being notified by the dental board.
So, again, to amend my motion, that yes, according to the executive order, the once the testing centers reopen, that there will still be the requirement that within 20 days they get an exam booked.
After notification from the dental board.
After notification from the dental board. Thank you.
Morrow seconds.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. On to agenda item number 4, discussion and possible action items for future.
Yeah. Hold on 1 second. I want to make sure. Ryan, did that all make sense? Because this has staff, this tomorrow, has staff involved.
Yeah, it does. And we are planning a meeting after this meeting to cover this topic.
Great.
On how to institute policies and procedures to handle what you guys do today.
Great. Sorry,
Thank you. That's okay. This is Hardy. Agenda item number 4, discussion of possible action items for future meeting agendas. Anybody have anything?
Let me think about it for a minute. I got to formulate my words.
Remember, this is for the committee. It's not likely the committee will need to meet again, but we're making recommendations on future agendas for this committee. So if it's not for that, then it's probably not even necessary.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay, perfect. So nothing for that. And then agenda item number 5, next committee meeting dates. I do not feel that our committee needs to meet again. I think we did a great job accomplishing what we've been saying we wanted to accomplish for almost a year now. So I don't feel that there needs to be active dates. Anybody agree? Or disagree? Okay. And just an FYI before we go to agenda item number 6, Dr. Wade put in the chat, just an FYI, there are multiple states that accept the Compudent tooth. So moving on to agenda item number 6, adjournment. Anybody make a motion to adjourn?
Morrow recommends that we adjourn this committee meeting. There you go.
Second, Goodman.
Perfect. We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you all.